Welcome to the Three Count Podcast, and what a week it's been in wrestling. It's time to do, Benny, what is best for business. Ooh. And get down to the nitty-gritty of it all. I'm your host, Dylan Chambers. Alongside me, as always, the leader of the Hobden Appreciation Society, Ben Hobden. Benny, welcome into the show.
Wow, what a week we have just had, Dylan. Like, I don't even know where to start. I don't know, you'll keep me on track here. But yes, massive things going down.
Crazy.
Besides the two big pay-per-views, but everything else. Just huge. Returns and surprises and just backstage furor and suspensions and titles, new title holders coming up and everything going on. But
it's all been happening. We're gonna take you all through it today. We've got a huge show. We're gonna kick things off chatting WWE, talk a bit of news, give you our thoughts on Clash at the Castle. Then we'll head over to AEW where things are popping off right now. We'll discuss all the big news and we're gonna break down All Out as well. So if you're an AEW mark, stay tuned for all the craziness there. And we're going to link in a little bit with that craziness with our draft for you today. We're going to draft our top five backstage heat magnets. Those guys who just couldn't help getting heat with the boys in the back. Now, make sure you follow us on socials at 3CountPod on Twitter and Facebook, at 3CountPodcast on Instagram. If you're watching on YouTube, hit that subscribe button and the follow button on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Benny, time to get into the news. Let's start with WWE today.
Well, where do you want to start, mate? Do you want to start at the pay-per-view or should we just talk about what's going on, returns?
Let's go through the news. We'll start with Braun Strowman returning. What are your thoughts on Braun returning?
It was a weird place for him to return, wasn't it? Really?
He came in the middle of a tag team match to determine the number one contenders.
And like some big names, like those couple of big names in that title, like tag match as well, you know, and for him to just come in and then all of a sudden just dominate, really. Just
destroyed.
Destroyed is probably the right word, yeah. The monster among men is back and just killed everybody, really. There was a little botching there. He tried to take Chad Gable out. He jumped out of the way and fell over, but he then he took Otis through the barricade and he just, he looked very dominant. He looked good too.
He looks a lot more cut than he used to.
Yeah, like
as well.
Slim down and
it's been so been working
big
out.
Big return.
Got Solo Sikoa. He's the new member of the SmackDown roster after making his presence felt at Clash at the Castle. Another member of the Bloodline.
Yeah, well, you popped a little bit for that, didn't you, when it happened?
I did.
Yeah, I did, but I kind of wish it went the other way. Which we can get into later.
We'll get into that a little bit later and our thoughts on the ending to Clash at the Castle. But in any case, Solo Sikoa is now up on the main roster. We had Bron Breakker, Mandy Rose, and Pretty Deadly unified all the titles at Worlds Collide.
Yeah, and Ricochet was no luck down there.
A very good match.
It was a great match, yeah.
Very good.
I think Bron was always going to win. The other two, I guess, could have gone either way. But yeah, fair. I think it was fair who won.
We've almost got a Roman Reigns type situation down there where I don't know who's going to unseat Bron Breakker.
Yeah. I don't know. That's a very good question, to be honest.
Like, I don't think it's going to be JD McDonough. If anyone, it's going to be Tyler Bate.
Tyler Bate come back, there's not much down there at the moment, is there?
No.
Like there is, but like Bron's just that level above. But I don't think he's ready to go to the main yet. So
yeah, maybe Gable Stevenson comes in though. Reports have been that he's not impressing that much.
Well, yeah, apparently Triple H is not pulling the pin on him just yet. He's pulling the pin on him for now to not bring him in. So that makes another interesting thing because there was big props behind him there for a while.
It does. Now that's a great segue, Benny, because Triple H has gotten another promotion within WWE. He's now the chief content officer.
Taking the reins, pardon the pun, but taking the control of everything.
Anything that goes out on any WWE platform, that is now Triple H's business. And speaking of Triple H's running buddies, Shawn Michaels, he's now the senior vice president of talent development creative. That still kind of means he's just head
Same
of
job.
NXT, right?
Same job, really.
Yeah.
But DX just dominating the WWE.
Yeah, I'd like to see where Road Dogg fits into those plans eventually. But
you reckon he's going to bring Nash back over and get Nash involved? Nash can start booking and put himself in a world title match or something.
Possibly. He's the biggest fan of Kenny Omega, isn't he? Kevin Nash.
Is he?
That's a whole nother thing. In any case, we've had Giovanni Vinci returned to rejoin Imperium at Clash of the Castle. He's now a SmackDown superstar as well. So the return of Imperium, which was pretty cool to see.
Yeah, I did have that written down. I was going to mention it later, but yeah.
And staying with SmackDown, Pat McAfee is going to be stepping away from SmackDown for the time being to do College Game Day on ESPN. Game Day.
Yeah, and they were happy to let him go. They said they weren't going to stand in his way of, you know, a great opportunity and stuff. But losing McAfee from SmackDown is going to hurt.
Yeah, college football season is done by New Year, so they're only losing him for like 3 months or something. 3 months.
Yeah.
But that's
a long time. That's
what do you think they do? You think they bring Corey over to do SmackDown as well?
Well, we did see JBL sort of show up last week as well. So I mean, maybe JBL comes in.
That is true.
Yeah.
That
was just a little thought. It just popped into my head then. Like, I know he came back for something else, but now that that's happened.
Well, you know, he came back to help out Corbin. And who does Corbin not like? Pat McAfee.
Hey, this could work really well.
There we go. I like your thinking.
We're on to something here.
We are. Now, the last bit of news coming out of WWE is they have announced that the Royal Rumble will be held in San Antonio on January 28th. So that's Sunday, January 29th over here. Another Sunday pay-per-view and for the Rumble.
Who's your early pick? Let's go way too early pick for the Rumble.
Way too early pick. It's got to be Cody.
Cody Rhodes.
I mean, that's where the money is, but it's Cody or Seth.
Or Seth?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, they're the last two, maybe.
Yeah. I mean, I've seen some of the odds. You know, The Rock is up there. Mm. But yeah, I don't see anyone but those two.
You've heard of me first. Early prediction from Dylan.
What do you think? Are you in agreement?
Oh, you know who I'm going to say. I just want him to return. Bray Wyatt.
What? Wow.
I do agree. Like, Cody's probably the best call. It's got shades of that Triple H thing when Triple H came back from the torn pec and the torn quads or whatever it was for his Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
It's just, there's so many resemblances of their careers and stuff.
Because Triple H is there, do we see a swerve at the end, though? He comes back for Royal Rumble and doesn't win.
Triple H just insert himself and throw him out.
Love it. All right, Benny. That is it for the news coming out of WWE. As we mentioned, we will get to all the other AEW stuff a little bit later on. But first, we are going to go through the Clash at the Castle card, give our thoughts on each of the matches. Benny, let's kick it off with the six-way tag match. Bianca Belair, Alexa Bliss, and Asuka against the now Damage Control officially. Music and everything. We had Io Sky. She hit a moonsault on Belair, and Bayley pinned Belair for the win.
Which we've seen coming. We said this would happen. I didn't think Belair would probably eat the pin, but I thought she'd still take the loss.
That was where the surprise came for me. I didn't expect her to eat the pin.
Exactly. But Bayley really healed it up, I thought. She was perfect in everything she did. Bianca obviously got that hot tag. Sort of cleared house a little bit, and then you know she just won. Like, it was just good. I thought it was good.
I gave it a 1.5 count. I thought it did what it needed to do. Wasn't bad. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, exactly. I literally 1.5 count myself, and you know it sets up the title shot for Bayley now.
It does, yeah. And in my opinion, Io Sky and Dakota Kai, they need the tag team titles.
Fair enough.
Yeah. What a great heel faction that'd be if Bayley can get the title off Belair. Kai and Sky get the tag titles.
Yeah, I don't mind it.
That's what I'm feeling. All right, moving on. We next had the Intercontinental Championship match, Gunther and Sheamus, an incredibly hard-hitting and, dare I say, brutal.
Brutal.
Eventually, Sheamus's back gave out when attempting a brogue kick. Gunther hit a powerbomb and a lariat for the win. What did you think, Benny?
What a match. This was great. This was just, as you said, brutal. Obviously, Imperium back together. We had Butch out there as well. The stare down while their two goons went at each other as well. I thought that was brilliant at the beginning of the match.
Like, so
just
good.
Really set it up. And just, like, did you see their chests afterwards?
Like, they beat the tar out of each other.
Oh, it was crazy. I gave it a 2.5 count. I thought it probably stole the show, really, to be honest.
I gave it a 3 count. Match of the night for me. And I enjoyed it so much. You know, Sheamus kind of turned face during the match. I mean, I know, you know, he was, you know, in the UK and everything. And
the crowd was behind him, of course.
With the Imperium back, looks like they're in a clash with the Brawling Brutes. You know, are they a kind of face faction now? Everyone loves Pete Dunne, so.
Well, hey, there you go.
I don't know, but Sheamus was great. I was rooting for him, and so many good false finishes. 3 count for me, match of the night.
Yeah, definitely stole the show, but yeah, 2.5 count for me. Great,
matchup. We then went to the SmackDown Women's Championship. Liv Morgan, Shayna Baszler. Morgan hit the code breaker and then Oblivion for the pin on Shayna. I gave this one a 1.5, which is probably generous.
I've written the same thing. Generous 1.5.
Yeah, generous. So, generous 1.5. It did what it needed to do. I mean, Baszler looked dominant, but obviously not dominant enough to win it.
Yeah, well, Liv was just resilient, I guess you could say. And all that MMA training, I guess she's been doing with Riddle, they're trying to showcase that off a little bit. And yeah, she just pulled out the victory, you know what I mean? It made her look stronger. I think it made Baszler look pretty weak, to be honest, as well.
Yeah.
But I guess that kind of goes in with what Rousey's been saying about how Baszler used to be so strong and now you've gone soft. So falls into that narrative a little bit.
Where do we go from here?
Well, you've still got Rousey to come back. You've got Charlotte to come back. I think one of those is the big ones that has to come back. Otherwise, it's going to be some sort of number one contender for the women's title or something like that.
I mean, Liv's the only one to have pinned Rousey, right? And she's done it twice. So Rousey's got to get that comeback win and obliterate her.
Becky's pinned her once, but I mean, yeah.
Maybe she's the only person to do it twice.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think I need Baszler to stay in that title picture because she deserves it.
She does, but I just think that made her look really weak.
Yeah.
Not really weak, but weak. Like, she looked dominant the whole match, but then to take the loss.
It's kind of hard, right? They're trying to build Liv up and they're trying to bring Baszler up as well, but you can't really do both at the same time.
No. Well, there is different ways of booking people to do that, but
yeah,
this didn't work for that response.
Absolutely not. We then move on to the tag team match, the Judgment Day versus Edge and Rey Mysterio. After a 619 from Rey and a spear from Edge on Balor, Rey and Edge got the win. However, afterwards was the talking point. Dom hit Edge with a low blow before clotheslining his own father, all with Judgment Day cackling next to the ring. It finally happened.
It's finally. I've only been calling it for over a year, Dylan, but it's finally happened. The Dominic heel turn. And
you know what I thought was interesting? They turned him heel, but he didn't join the Judgment Day that night.
No.
Like, he cost them the match.
Yeah, it was weird like that. That was kind of weird. But I think the next night, obviously, comes out. Rhea's come out and said that he was weak and now she's made him a man. I just think it's kind of, what are they trying to imply here with that?
Well, I mean, I think they're trying to keep us guessing because since when he joined the Judgment Day on Raw, he hasn't said a word.
Yeah, exactly.
Not one word. He's not wearing the Judgment Day gear like the rest of them. Yeah, he's in all black. His hair doesn't look as ridiculous or slicked back.
I thought it looked even worse. Ridiculous. It looks so bad. But, hey, that's my opinion.
I saw this great Instagram post. I think Rhea shared it with the Judgment Day laughing at what happened in the ring. And there was also a picture of, like, the three hyenas from The Lion King.
Nice.
They kind of look the same.
Speaking of Judgment Day and people laughing, did you also see the Instagram post of Finn Balor outside the ring getting laid out and his parents are both laughing at him while he's knocked out on the ground? I thought that was gold.
That was great. He said, I almost turned heel on my dad.
My own dad, yeah. That was good. I like that.
That was good stuff.
This match, I only gave it a 1 count, really, considering, you know, like a Hall of Famer, future Hall of Famer. I gave it a 1 count, but then I gave it the 1.5 only because of the heel turn at the end. So,
well, I kind of took a leaf out of that, but I gave it a 2 count.
Yeah.
I thought the match was good when you've got Rey and Edge in there. It's always going to be a good match. And I gave the extra half for the the turn at the end, even though he kind of botched the turn. He lost his shoe on the...
Yeah. You know, for me, it felt like something we'd seen before, or like something we'd just see on like WWE Raw on a Monday night. So it just didn't really live up to that sort of level. I know it's only a premium live event, as we like to call them these days, but yeah, that's just where I stand with it.
PLEs, baby. Our second last match of the night, we had Seth Rollins. They've taken Freakin' out of his name title. And with Matt Riddle. Lots of great false finishes. These two have got great chemistry.
Brilliant.
Rollins got the win after a stomp from the second rope. I gave it a 2 count. I probably could have gone up a little, but a 2 count for me. I really enjoyed it. And I want more from these guys.
Yeah. Well, I literally just like they play off each other perfectly. The backstage heat that they had resonated brilliantly over into some chemistry in the ring, which they've always had. Obviously Rollins got under his skin, just got him heated up and stuff. He went and got the chair, tries to come back in. Rollins hit the stomp, stomped off the second rope. Rollins needed the victory. We said that in the preview. He'd eaten too many pins, so this was the right decision, and you know, it can definitely lead to more.
Absolutely. I love the I love when they kind of catch what Rollins is saying on the mic. Like it's specifically done. All right, I'm gonna start yelling at him. We need to pick this up. This is part of the match.
Yeah.
You know, you're a loser. That's why your life left you. You're massive. I love it.
Yeah, it was good. It was good. They really zoomed in on him. And like, and you could just see Riddle's face. Like once he heard it, like the facials he pulled with it, it was brilliant.
Absolutely. Love it. Last match of the night, the undisputed WWE Universal Championship match, Roman Reigns and Drew McIntyre. The building was electric for this one, as it should have been. We had Karrion Kross causing a distraction at one point. At another point, Theory went to cash in and was laid out by Tyson Fury. Lots of great false finishes. Just as Drew was about to finally get the win, as we mentioned before, Solo Sikoa dragged the referee out of the ring. Reigns hit the spear for the win. Benny, what'd you think?
Mate, I thought it was a great match. I think all the other little things going on sort of took away from the match too much, because the match was actually probably one of the best ones they've ever had. And I think that sort of took away from me a little bit. I did love them though, but they took away from the match. In separate things themselves, they would have been all right.
Yeah.
So I gave it a 2 count myself. Solo coming out was a surprise. Nobody expected that, like nobody. But I just kind of wish that he had gone against the Bloodline. That would have been even better. That would have been a bigger pop for me, because he gives Drew the victory in the UK and then Drew stands up with the titles. That would have been amazing. But, you know, Roman is Roman. And
I think everyone was expecting that kind of, okay, Drew's going to get the titles, you know, home soil. It's going to be this big, great moment. And I think I really enjoyed the finish because I wasn't expecting it.
Yeah, that makes complete sense.
And, yeah, that kind of got a – and I was rooting for Drew. I was up out of my seat by myself at home. Come on for each near fall. And, yeah, but it surprised me. I gave it a 2.5 count. I thought – I mean, yeah, they had the kind of schmozzes with Theory and Cross going on, but it didn't really distract, I think, too much from the great match they had together. Obviously, Sokoa's interference cost him the match, but
yeah,
2.5 count for me. And I think Drew, he's got to get another shot, and he's got to get out of anyone who's gone up against Roman. I think Drew needs to beat him for the titles.
Yeah, well, Drew's definitely, he's got a reason now, you know. It was a schmoz finish, so he's got a reason to come back and say, well, here we go, and they can continue it on.
Yeah.
It's just going to be interesting to see where these, like, with Cross there, and then you've still got, like, obviously, you know, Braun coming out doing what he did. You know, they try to make him look very dominant, so, I mean,
yeah,
they're obviously going for something there. So,
or they do they hold it till Cody comes back? Yeah.
Well, Cody and Reigns?
Yeah.
After he wins the Rumble, does that mean Reigns holds it to WrestleMania? That's a long way away.
That is a long way away. I mean, if they're going with Reigns Rock at WrestleMania, which all reports are they still are doing, I don't think they need the titles. Because I mean,
so they need to take the title off him then.
Yeah, because obviously the Rock's not going to win for the titles. So,
well, what do we got? Survivor Series is still coming up. So, I mean, I don't think the titles will be on the line there.
No, not at Extreme Rules.
Maybe at the Rumble.
Maybe
title match at the Rumble.
Okay, I can feel that.
Reigns enter the Rumble a la Brock style with the titles and then lose it.
Rollins wins the title, and then Cody wins the Rumble.
And they face off at WrestleMania and Rock versus Roman.
Yeah. There we go.
We've done it here.
We've booked it.
Get us on the blogs, mate.
We've booked it. Lock it in.